volunteers to Children's Church, but this morning we're going to ask them to stay in here with us because I think it's very important for not just the adults, but for the children. Brother Rick came and spoke to me this morning. We talked about it, that they need to hear the difference that Christ makes, and that what we teach and what we believe is not just theoretical. It is everyday application. It's practical how God is at work in us. But in leading up to introducing Scott and having him come share, I just wanted to look at one passage of Scripture, because there is a misunderstanding, there is a lie of Satan that's prominent in the church, that God will not give us more than we can handle. And it sounds good. And it's comforting. Well, God won't ever do more than I can take. God won't ever give me more than I can bear up under. That God won't ever do anything so hard in my life or cause me to walk through something so difficult that I can't just man up and take it. Well, that is so foreign to Scripture, so foreign to truth. And I want us to look at just one passage, and I think it will lead very well into what Scott is going to. And then when he gets finished, I'm going to wrap it up just a little bit. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. This is his second letter that he's written to them. And he is in them as they go through difficulties. And they walk this walk of faith with the Lord, and it is not easy. And anybody who has tried to walk faithfully with the Lord understands it's not an easy walk with the Lord. It's not an easy life. It's a life that is predicated upon, as Jesus said, denying yourself first of all. And that's an everyday event. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily, and following Him. It says, unless you give up all of your own possessions, you cannot be my disciple. Unless you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your sons, your daughters, even your own life, you're not worthy of being my disciple. He says, nothing and no one can be more important than me, including yourself. That is hard. But also, when we follow Christ, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be persecution. And Paul is encouraging them in the truth of God's word. He says in verse 8, he says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia. Now listen to how he describes their affliction, their experience as they walked with God, as they walked in complete obedience to the Lord and planting churches and sharing the gospel, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so we were despaired even of life. Paul says we were following God fully and faithful. We were going around sharing the gospel in Asia Minor. We were planting churches. We were teaching people about Jesus. He said, but it was so hard. We were burdened excessively. That means more than we could bear. He says it was beyond our strength. There's no way we personally could walk through this, what God had given us, this task that He gives us. There's no way we could accomplish, no way we could experience all the hardships, the beatings, the imprisonment. He was writing this even from prison at the time. It got so bad that we even despaired of life. You know what that means? God, why don't you just take us home? Why are we having to go through this? God, I'd rather die and just go ahead and be in glory than have to face what I'm dealing with. God, this is more than I can bear. It's heavy upon me. It's a weight I can't tote. Jesus, this is wearing me out. It's beating me down. Just please, end this life and let me come home. You ever been there? Many of you have. Many people you know have. So the reality of walking with Christ is not a life that's filled with ease. It's not a life that's filled with comfort. It's a life that's filled with things bigger than you and heavier than you can carry. And sometimes it'll even cause you to wish to die rather than to face it. Paul knew the struggle of following Christ. And never was it that God gave him no more than he could bear. He said, it was so much more than I could carry. Verse 9 says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Not just the sentence of death from the authorities, not just the sentence of death from the Roman government and the Jews, but he says, we were wishing for death ourselves. It was within us. We wanted to die. Why did God allow this trouble? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. See, God gives us more than we can bear so that we can't do it on our own, that it causes us to get on our knees and our face before Him. It causes us to be dependent upon Him, because when we surrender our hearts and our life to Him, we're surrendering to a life of dependency. And sometimes we think we've got it figured out. Some things we think we got it going on, and we look down on all these other folks that don't have it going on. But sometimes God needs to put us in our place. Sometimes He needs to humble us. Sometimes it's not because we're arrogant. It's just because He knows that we can't experience Him in the way He wants us to experience Him unless we are completely dependent on Him. So Paul understood that the reason God let these things happen more than he could bear was so that they would trust in Him and not in themselves. They believed in the God who raises the dead, who delivered us, verse 10, from so great a peril, and will continue to deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. Paul says that God gave him more than he could bear. Caused him to experience hardship so bad that he wished he could just go ahead and die. But he understood that it was so that they wouldn't be dependent on themselves, they would trust in God. But also not that they would just trust in God, that God would take care of them today, but because God delivered them through that trouble, they knew that later on He would continue to deliver us. There's nothing too big for God. There's nothing that He won't take us through. There's nothing that He won't give us the strength, the hope, the joy, the peace to make it through to the other side, not just to survive, but to glorify Him in the process. He said, the God who raises people from the dead has delivered us and will continue to deliver us until He ultimately delivers us from this life to life eternal. In Christ Jesus. I've seen many of you walk through difficult days, difficult years, difficult seasons. I've seen you walk through it with integrity. I've seen you walk through it with praise. I've seen you walk through it with faith and hope. We've been praying for Scott and his family. We've been loving on Scott and his family. Now Scott wants to share what God's been doing. So Scott, you come and you share what God's laid on your heart and let us celebrate with you.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
There we go. Get turned around. Well, Amanda saw me this morning. She said, well, I'm glad you dressed up, Daddy. She's used to me dressing up, but since his accident, that's something I've kind of let go. I hadn't been dressing up quite as much as I used to, but I told Lisa I wanted to wear this shirt today because we do have freedom in this country. But not only do we have freedom in this country, we got freedom in Christ. And when I saw this shirt, and she bought me this shirt recently, I thought about that. My son Alan this week went and helped boil crawfish for the veterans over on 165. And Tanya, his fiancée, she works there at the veterans home on 165. And I visited there before. And I encourage you to do so. You get a chance. Those guys fought for our freedom. And that's why we can come here this morning and meet. And that's why we have the freedom that we have. But more importantly, Jesus gave His life so we could have freedom. freedom that no one can take away, by the way. It's yours. I'm glad my family's here this morning. I invited them to come, and glad they all came today. This is my mom right here on the end. This is my daughter, my pretty daughter, Amanda, right here. I'm not going to make them say anything. They were all scared I was going to make them get up and talk. I'm like, only if I point you out, then you get up and talk. But I'm not going to do that. Everybody knows Jordan. And my wife, Lisa, and Hunter. That's Alan right there. Raise your hand, Alan. I'll make him do something. Tanya, his fiancée. Let me tell you something. That's the answer to prayer right there. Whew. I've been praying that for years right there. That's my brother, Todd. Raise your hand, Todd. I'll make you do something. His wife, Heather, the smartest one in the whole bunch up here, by the way. Everybody knows that. Cadence, little Cadence there. That's my sister's grandchild. That's my sister right there. And the best brother-in-law, John, in the world right there. Would do anything for me. And I'm glad they're all here today. My friend Ned, raise your hand back there, Ned. That's my friend Ned. I'll get to talk about him here in a few minutes. But anyway, I'm glad y'all came this morning to listen to me cry and talk for a few minutes. I am a crybaby. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you. My name's Scott Smith, by the way, for maybe some of y'all new ones that are here and doesn't know me. I've been a member of this church for a long time. I've taught Sunday school here, sang in the choir, been on committees, and been real active. So has my wife. She sang in the praise band, and Jordan's played the drum, not Alan. Jordan's played the drums. Jordan's graduating this year with honors, by the way. So I'm proud of him. He's a talented young man. God's got big plans for him. And I'm just glad they're here today. Glad y'all here today. Aren't you glad you're here?
Amen.
Of all the places you could be. I started telling people I was going to give my testimony. They're like, man, your testimony ain't over yet. But let me tell you something. Your testimony ain't over till you breathe your last breath.
That's right. That's right.
Every day you're a living testimony. We're to be a living testimony every day of our lives. Whether you're going through difficulties, whether the sun is shining and the weather's perfect, it doesn't matter. You're to be a living testimony every day of your life. But let me tell you something. Through the darkest trials is when you can shine the brightest for the Lord in your testimony. Because you know why? People are watching you. They watch you real close when you're going through trials. You know why? Because they want to see if what you say you believe is real. You go to church every Sunday, you sing in the choir, okay, big deal. When life gets tough, is it really real? Do you really believe what you say you believe? And a trial is when you find that out, by the way. It's not on those sunshiny days, it's in the trial, by the way, that you find that out. And the testimony is no more than evidence of what God has done for you. That's all a testimony is. It's giving evidence of something. You go to court, and you get up to testify. I've been there and done that, by the way. You're getting up there to give evidence. When you're a believer, we're to give evidence of who Christ is and what he's done in our lives. We need more believers to do that, by the way. This is not easy for me. Most people know. I told my brother one day, you know, I'm not much of a talker, never have been. But if you get me on the right subject, I'll talk your ear off. And that right subject is my Lord and Savior. I can talk about him all day, every day, if you sit down with me. Brother Dallas came to my house the other day. We spent 3 hours talking. Thank you, brother. That was a blessing to me. Here he is. He's been hurting for about 12 years. Most of you don't know that. He has been. Went through more surgeries than I'll ever experience. He came over to encourage me. And matter of fact, that very day, I had called Brother Billy and I said, me and you are going to get together and we're going to go see Dallas. And he shows up at the house. I'm looking out in the yard and I'm like, who is that? And it was Dallas. And I was so glad to see him and glad he came over. I told Johnny before this today, I told him I was going to be transparent. You know what that means? That means tell the truth. Nothing but the truth, so help you God. Brother W.H., yesterday I was talking to him about it. He said, whatever you do, don't get up there and lie, boy. So he's watching me. And then I got everybody over to this side that really knows me. Y'all think y'all know me, but these guys over here, they really know me. So I can't lie. Not and get away with it anyway. So on January 3rd, I obviously had an accident at work. But I want to go before that real quick. And Brother Neil said I had all the time I wanted, by the way. So I hope y'all don't have anywhere to be. But anyway, prior to the accident on January 3rd of this year, my life was a mess. You hear me? I was here teaching, singing in the choir, living this thing we call the Christian life, and coming in with a smile on my face and acting like everything was okay. You ever done that? When everything in the world is messed up and you just don't want nobody to know? You ever been there? Man, let me tell you. To be honest, Lisa and I were probably on the brink of divorce. I'd done about run her crazy. For really no apparent reason, to be honest. Mine and Jordan's relationship was zero. We didn't even speak. If he said something to me, it was in the negative. It wasn't anything positive. I was a mess at work. I was a mess at home. And here I am trying to teach Sunday school. That's very difficult. Because I wasn't living it, by the way. I'm not going to go into all the details of that. It'd take too long. To give you my whole testimony, it'd take this whole book, by the way. To give your testimony, it probably would too. I went to work on January 3rd like every other day. I was there a little early, and the boss man, the manager at that time, came to me and said, hey, these guys are coming to pick this loading dock up. His loading dock weighed plus or minus about 4,000 pounds, and I didn't know the guy was coming that morning, and then he pulls up in a trailer that was too small, with no chains, no binders, and I was on the forklift. And I got to looking at all that, and I told the manager, I'm not doing it. I'm not driving this forklift. He looked at me kind of like, I said, I'm telling you, I'm not doing it. If you want to get on it and do it, you get on it and do it. Can y'all hear me in the back? Lisa wanted to make sure y'all could hear me in the back. So I got off, and he got on, and they put these straps on this thing. Well, it wouldn't fit naturally. Trailer wasn't wide enough. Took it back off, flipped it. I'm going to go through this fast. They flipped it up sideways, put it back on the trailer. Wham. After he got it on the trailer, I told him, look, I'm going inside. Because I was already jittery and nervous about the whole thing. Matter of fact, before this thing fell on me, I'd already told him, if this thing falls on somebody, they're going to get hurt. And guess who that somebody was? Unfortunately, it was me in some ways. So anyway, he asked me before I went in, can you help us get it strapped down? And I'm being the kind of person I am, I was like, yeah. I should have went inside, by the way. If something's unsafe, don't do it. Let me tell you that. If you're at work, at home, on a ladder, Dallas, don't do it. We talked about that. Don't do it if it's unsafe. So I went around to hook the strap on. And I'm standing up looking at this thing. It's taller than I am. And I knew about what it weighed. And all of a sudden, I feel it moving. So I'm standing here. It's here. I'm on the trailer at this point. So in my mind, I'm thinking, when I start feeling it move, I'm like, I got to get off this trailer. Because if I stay on this trailer, this thing's going to kill me. It's going to smash me. So as I go to jump off the trailer, it's coming over so fast, I'm telling you, it happened. Let me tell you something. In about 2 or 3 seconds, your life can change like that. You hear me? I did not realize that to that day. It came over on me so hard, it took my body and hit me, and it slammed me off the trailer onto the asphalt. Wham! Fortunately, when it fell off the trailer, part of it stayed on top of the trailer. If it would have slid all the way off, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys. Everybody I talked to about it, and there's a video that I can't watch, by the way, of it falling on me. Everybody I talked to said, man, God was with you that day. God saved you for a purpose. And I believe God did. As I lay under that thing, I knew in a matter of seconds, I got to get out of here. Because I knew if it slid off and landed on me, it was over. So I go crawling out, and that's when I realized my right leg was broken. It was turned completely the opposite direction. So I crawl out, it's raining, it's wet, it's cold, I got my jacket on, my boots on, I crawl over, I'm kind of in this mud puddle where I end up laying. The first thing I said to somebody was, call my wife. And I called out the phone number to them, and I heard them talking to her. She beat the ambulance there. And then when Lisa got there, I told her, I said, look, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I didn't realize how bad I was even at this point in time. I don't know if I'm going to make it, but if I don't, you tell my family I love them. And I laid there on that ground calling out to God. By this time, everybody from Gene Tire, is where our place is at, they came, the next door guys, all those guys came out. Mike, the owner, tried to get something under my head. Then the ambulance people show up. Robert from work, he's the manager now. He came out there. The guys that were involved in the loading, they had all kind of disappeared. But Robert comes out, and he says, man, what can I do? I said, look, hold my hand. I squeezed his hand. Because I'll be honest with you, I thought, this is it. I'm calling out to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, if you want to take me, I'm ready. I'm hollering it. Everybody's standing around. At that point, you don't care. You know what I mean? I'm like, I said it I don't know how many times. Lord, if you're ready to take me, I'm ready to go. And I kept saying that. But I also said, Lord, if you leave me here, I need your help. And I can't tell you the help that he's given me through this, what seems to be a tragedy. The ambulance gets there. This guy named Rick comes up. He seemed like the only one on the ambulance that knew what he was doing. But he did. He cut my boot off, cut my pants. I'm soaking wet, freezing, shaking at this point, probably going in shock. Never went out, by the way. Some people say it'd probably been better if you would have. I'd never been in so much physical pain in all my life. I've been in some pain, but not like that. It's undescribable. They loaded me up. They couldn't air flight me out because of the weather. They took me to St. Francis. I broke my right leg, I think in 3 different places. Bones coming out of my leg. I broke my left leg. I broke my ribs, punctured my lung, separated both shoulders, fractured my clavicle bone, my collarbone, and recently found out I fractured the nerves in my teeth. I hit the ground so hard. I landed on this side, so these shoulders, 2 big old knots right here where my shoulders are separated. They can't do the surgery on my shoulders because they got to wait till I can walk. I just found out I got to have a bone graft on this right leg. So that's another surgery, but to God be the glory, I'm alive. I'm broken, physically broken, but I'm alive. But not only did God save me that day, I truly believe God saved my marriage that day. Isn't it a miracle how God works things out sometimes? But I'm telling you, I went to work that day about as low as a man could be. And Lisa has stood by me when I probably wouldn't stand by me. She's took care of me. Helped me get showers. I mean, just... When you get like this, you realize what a blessing it is to have help, to be able to walk, to be able to dress yourself. Man. Mine and Jordan's relationship is better than it's ever been. My relationship with God is probably better than it's ever been in my life. Isn't it amazing how God can take a tragedy and turn it into something good? Man, it's amazing. Amanda's moved back, my daughter here. Something I've been praying for years. I don't think it's necessarily for me, but anyway. She moved back. My brother and his wife have been here for several weeks, probably longer than they've ever. They're from Virginia, by the way. Don't hold that against them. But anyway, just kidding. But they've been here for a while. That's been a blessing. I mean, I can just go on and on at the blessings that God has brought through this thing. I thank God for Robert that day when he was standing beside me. I got to tell you all about something. There was a man and his grandson that was driving by and saw it happen. Christian man, they pulled over and prayed for me. They came to the hospital and visited me. I thought that was pretty awesome. For years I've prayed, and this may sound weird, but every time I see or hear an ambulance, I pray for those people, wherever that ambulance is going, whatever person it may be they're going to pick up or they're taking somewhere. And I thought about, you know what, all those years I've been doing that, and somebody pulled over to pray for me. And that's something. It's in brokenness that God can often use us. It can be for our good, His purpose, and actually for the good of others, by the way. I've seen that, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Paul had a testimony that pleased the Lord. Do we also have a testimony that pleases God? You should. Paul knew what brokenness felt like, and Brother Neil kind of talked about that. He knew what weakness felt like. In weakness, by the way, we find strength. Did you know that? Well, that doesn't sound like it goes together, does it? In weakness, I find strength. That strength comes from the Lord. That's where the strength comes from. And it's kind of, a God thing this morning, because 2 Corinthians is what I've been studying and looking at here lately. And I kind of want to read a few things out of there for you guys. And it's about Paul. Goes right along with what Brother Neil was talking about. I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to read some of it. Paul knew what it was to suffer for Christ. I don't have a clue, by the way. Even through this, I don't have a clue what suffering is. Paul did. Paul said, are they ministers of Christ? He was talking about false apostles at this time. In 2 Corinthians 11, 22 is where I'm at. I speak as a fool, I the more, in labor more abundant, in stripes above all measure, in prison more frequent, and in death often. That's Paul. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. What's he saying? I was beaten for his belief. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and night I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. My own people have been against me. In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness. You ever been there? In hunger, thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides other things, what comes upon me daily. And Paul battled some stuff. My deep concern for all the churches. What's Paul's concern? For others. Through all the trials and troubles and toils Paul went through, you know what his great concern was? Others. See, this accident's not about me. If God would have took me that day, I'm telling you, I was ready. It's about others. And I'm going to talk about that some more in a minute. It's about what he's done for my family. It's about what he's done for some friends of mine and for some people that I've met since this accident. It's about others. Who is weak, Paul says? I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I do not burn with indignation. For I must boast. If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmities. Paul says, I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in those things that I struggle with, that I deal with, that's hard. The God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses forever, knows that I am not lying. I'm not lying either, by the way. One time, Paul was in Damascus. A garrison was there. And they desired to arrest him, by the way. But he was let down in a basket. Remember that? Through a window in the wall for escape, because they were trying to kill him. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself will I not boast, except in my infirmities. There again he talks about his infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but refrain, lest anyone should think me above what he sees me to be or hears of me. And least I should be exalted above all measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. We don't know what that thorn was. Some people think it was blindness. Some people think it was, you know, something else. I'm not really sure what it was, but it was something that God had given him. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pled with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So the Lord gave him something that buffeted him, that was hard for him. And Paul cried out to God 3 times, hey, take this away from me. Take this away from me. Do I wish God could take this away from me? Yeah. But you know what? There's a lot of good that's come out of this. There's a lot of good that came out of all the struggles and trials that Paul faced. Paul said this, and he said unto me, who God did, my grace, God's grace, is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You want to learn God's strength? You want to be a strong believer? When you go through trials, lean on His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His love. That's what you lean on. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Man. Therefore, I took pleasure in infirmities. That's hard to do, isn't it? But you can. In reproach, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for whose sake? Christ's sake. He took it for Christ's sake. That's the way I have to look at mine. I take it for His sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Whew. You want to be strong, you got to know what it is to be weak. Because that strength comes from only Him. He's the only one that can give you the kind of strength that it takes to go through these trials and troubles in life. Paul had a testimony. Do we have one like that? We find out only in our weakness that God is our strength. There's no other way to know that we have need of Him, is it not? See, I knew before January 3rd that I had need of the Lord, but not to the extent that I know it now, brother. I know I have need of Him each and every day. I got at least 3 more surgeries left on my body here, but God's going to get me through those 3. And one glorious day, I'm going to walk again. Friday, this past Friday was mine and Lisa's 22nd anniversary. It was also her dad's birthday. And it was also 4 months since the accident. So we had a lot to celebrate that day. I called her dad. He's 77 now. Not doing real good in health. And I called and talked to him for a few minutes. And for the first time in all these years, I told her dad before we got off the phone. I think I kind of blew his mind. I said, "I love you." It took him a few minutes, a few seconds. And then he said it back. He said, "I love you." That's a powerful word, by the way. Do you know that? That one word, love. My brother Ned's here today. He works for James Machine. Been with him forever. Ned and I developed a friendship after I used to deliver over there all the time, welding gases and welding supplies. And I got to know Ned. By the way, if you mess with me, you got to mess with him. When I first met Ned, I was like, man, I couldn't fight that dude. There ain't no way. You need to see him with his jacket off. He ain't got nothing but muscles. And his fiance's here, by the way. Hey, it's good to have you. So glad y'all came. But me and Ned got to working up a friendship. And I got to talking to him about my life and my God, and he got to talking about his life and his God. His daughter just had open heart surgery out in Texas. Y'all be praying for that. She's doing good, but if y'all will remember that for him. But Ned, you don't know it, but one day you called me. When I was at home, he calls and checks on me quite often. And before he got off the phone, he said, "I love you, brother." I said, "I love you too." He don't know how much I needed that day. It was one of those hard days I was going through. So let me tell you, this has been tough. I've been through some tough things, but let me tell you something. This has been the toughest. Levi called me one day. I was having another tough day. Before he got off the phone, he said, "I just want you to know I love y'all. It meant a lot to me." Love is that universal word. It covers the race, the bounds of race that we have. It goes past that. It covers your enemies. We're called to what? Love our enemies. I've told people that I would not wish what I've been through on my worst enemy, but I don't have a worst enemy. I don't have enemies. I love all people. Love goes across this whole world that we have. When we go on these mission trips, it's about love. About love for people. When we are sick, we have need of what? Medication. I've taken more than I've ever taken in my entire life. Woo! They had me on some medication in the hospital. My goodness. I was in ICU for 13 days. That was a rough 13 days. I got this thing called ileus. Anybody ever heard of that? It's basically when your intestines stop working. My stomach blew up like about two basketballs. That girl come in there one night, and I said, look, nurse, something's not right. I know my stomach's big, but it ain't that big. And that's what it was. And they stuck this NG tube down my nose. And man, let me tell you something. That was some rough days right there. They had to do that twice. They thought it was okay once, pulled it out, did it again. That was rough. That's probably the roughest part of the whole thing, to be honest. Thank God he's got me on the other side of that. No sickness, we have no need of medication, do we? No sin, we have no need of Savior, do we? No. But we have sin, so we have need of a Savior. No weakness, no need for strength. That's why we have weakness. It's because we need to know that we are weak, that God can strengthen us, and God can help us through these times that are so difficult. Paul understood that. Paul chose to suffer. Did you know that? Paul could have done like a lot of Christians I see nowadays. Something like this comes along, and guess what? I'm done with God. They turn their back on him. They go another way. Man, let me tell you something. One thing I'm not going to do is turn my back on God. He's my only hope. He's my only help. He loves me when Lisa and nobody else loves me. Brother, I ain't turning my back on him. I need him. I hope he needs me. You know, we say God doesn't need us, but you know what? If he didn't need us, why would he leave us here? He needs us to love others. He needs us to witness to others. He needs us to be a testimony to others. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it?
That's right.
I'm standing up here giving my testimony today, but let me tell you something. Like I said in the beginning, every day you're living your testimony. And you know what I realized in that 3 seconds on that trailer? My testimony can end like that. It's over. And if I've missed it, missed the mark Paul talks about, if I miss that, and that mark is Jesus Christ, that mark is pointing toward him, if I miss that, I can't go back and make it up. It's over. Anybody in this room today can die today. Did you know that? We all in our minds a lot of times think, well, you know, I'm going to see my grandkids grow up, and you know, I'm going to live to be 70, 80 years old. You might not. So, with that in mind, how important is it for us to be doing the things that God has called us to do, that God wants us to do, that God wants us to accomplish? Every day it's important. Paul could have relieved the temporary pain and the suffering and the things that he went through. He could have relieved all that by just stopping serving God. But he didn't do that. He kept on. Because the power of Christ was revealed to him and to others by the way Paul lived, no matter what he was going through. Paul was an encourager in his actions and his word. Paul stopped looking at life through human eyes. That's what we need to do. So many times we look at life, and that's what I was doing. I was looking at life through my own human eyes instead of God's eyes. Through God's word. That's how we should be looking at life. God gave him spiritual insight which surpassed anything he had known. He realized weakness is where he finds strength. Brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. Brokenness is God's requirement for maximum usefulness. You want to be used for the Lord? Get ready to be broken. Be willing to be broken. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. How do I know that? I'm living it. And anybody that's been there knows. If we choose to let it do so, by the way. I am weak, but he is Jesus, keep me from all wrong. We sing that song. I'm glad I don't have friends like Job had. A wife like Job had. A couple of people have told me, man, when I think about your story, I think about Job. Let me tell you something. I have suffered nowhere near what Job suffered. I ain't even come close. Hadn't touched it. But thank God I didn't have friends like Job. Thank God I had friends like Ned back there. Because his friends came to him and said, you know what, Job? You must have sinned. Because, man, you are in a mess. Job's wife said, what, curse God and die. Thank God Lisa didn't tell me that. You know, just curse God and die, man. You'll be better off. No. I did have a guy. When I went up to do my second surgery in St. Francis, he looked at me and he said, it was either the second or third time I went up, the anesthesiologist, I can't remember his name, Lisa, huh? Zeke is his name, by the way. Zeke said, man, are you living right? He said, you have been through it, through the ringer, dude. You have been through it all. Are you living right? And he got me thinking. I'm laying there, my legs shaved, getting ready for surgery. I'm like, man, maybe that's what it is. I ain't been living right. But he did what Job's friends did. Man, your sin is the reason you're in this mess. No, it wasn't. God allowed it to happen to Job. You know why? Because God wanted to test Job. See, I'm going through a test. God's going to see if I'm faithful. God put Job through a test to see if Job was faithful. Job was a righteous man. Job was God's man. Job said, though you slay me, Lord, I will serve you. Do you know what he was saying? Lord, I don't care if you kill me. I'm going to serve you. Phew. Think about that. As I lay on that ground in that cold, my leg broke, boot cut off, blood everywhere, blood on my face where I landed on my face. Broken pieces, you hear me? I called out to God, the same thing. Lord, if you're ready for me, I'm ready to go. You talk about liberating. You hear me? A lot of people fear death. I used to fear death. When me and my brother were young, we shared a bedroom. Anybody been there and done that? That's what poor folk used to do, by the way. You shared a bedroom. Well, at night a lot of times when I was young and I get scared. I'm the youngest of the bunch, by the way. No, I'm not. I'm the oldest of the bunch. And they remind me of that. I'd scoot over there closer to my brother. I'd get scared. I'd start thinking about death. Even as a young man, you know, I'd get scared. I'd get nervous. Man. But you know what? Death doesn't scare me no more. Life scares me. Because you got to live in this God-forsaken world. But be the light while you're in the world, where you're at. I was in Tractor Supply the other day. My brother and my brother-in-law went with me. This may take a while. Y'all ready? My brother and brother-in-law went with me to Tractor Supply. Well, Lisa's like, man, them aisles are narrow. You can't get that wheelchair down through there. I'm like, watch and see. So I told my brother, your brother-in-law, I said, look, watch this. I said, they'll get out of the way for a handicapped man. I said, watch this. Put me in the front. They started splitting like the Red Sea. Excuse me, excuse me. Come on through. We went all over Tractor Supply, and it was packed full of people. We get in the line, and this guy looks down at me in this wheelchair, and he says, hey, man, what happened to your leg? So when everybody asks me that, I'm starting, you know, I go, because it's really a long story, so I have to kind of shorten it up. You know what I mean? We're in line, checking out. You know what I mean? It's a long line, but we're in line. Check it out. So I start telling him what I told you guys, kind of, sort of. He's like, well, man, I had something similar happen to me years ago. I think he was working on an oil rig or something. Got hurt real bad. Was in a cast for a long time. And then guess what we started talking about? The Lord. He started giving me his testimony of what God had brought him through. I started giving him my testimony. We're standing in the line at Tractor Supply. Guess what? Everybody around us is listening. You hear me? You don't know how you may affect someone by what you say and what you do and how you live where you're at. maybe even in Tractor Supply. I was eating lunch the other day with my brother and his wife. This guy walks up and says, "Hey, can I ask you what your last name is?" I'm thinking, I don't know this guy. He's like, "Is it happen to be Smith?" And I was like, "Yeah." I didn't know if it was a bill collector or who it was. And anyway, he was like, "I've been following you on Facebook." I was like, "Wow." He said, "I've been following your progress." Come to find out, he's worked with Lisa out at Energy. So he's been following Lisa's Facebook post. He said, "Man, I just want you to know I've been keeping up with you and just seeing how you was doing. I just wanted to talk to you for a minute." Man, it can happen anywhere. You hear me? I can go on and on with those, but we'll move on. Am I running out of time yet? This has brought my family closer than ever, by the way. My dad's under the weather. He's not here today, but you know what? Since this accident, before this accident, I can think of two times in my life my dad's told me he loved me. You hear me? And I could go into that and make y'all cry. But I'm not going to do that. Since the accident, every time he sees me or gets off the phone, guess what he says? "I love you." This made a difference in him. It's made a difference in us. My brother's been here and his wife. He's taken me to therapy. Amanda has, she was here through all that. She came up the day it happened, my daughter. She has helped me at home, therapy, at the hospital. I thank her for that. My sister, I even talked her into rubbing lotion one time on my back, my backside in the hospital. I was getting bed sores. I'd been in a darn bed so long. And I had to get her to tell you about that maybe after service. She didn't want to do it, by the way, but I twisted her arm. Hey, let me tell you all this real quick. Derek was a guy that worked in therapy on the 7th floor at St. Francis. Derek was a real neat guy, young guy. He would come by and see me all the time. Every day he would make a purpose to come by, whether he was doing something for me or not. Most of the time he wasn't. He just wanted to come by and see me, thank God. He'd come by and see me, visit me. And I told the Lord right before I got out of there, I said, "If you'll let Derek come by here and me and him be in this room, I'm fixing to witness to Derek." And guess what happened? The next day, Derek came by. And for the first time, it was just me and him. And Derek sat down, and I started telling him the gospel story. Now, Derek didn't get saved that day, but guess what? I planted a seed in Derek's heart. I still talk to him and text him. God only knows what he'll do in Derek's life. But God was faithful to bring him there. I was faithful to witness to him. And thank God I was. Thank God he gave me the courage to do that. We were told to go the extra mile with each other. Do you know that? If a man asks you to go a mile, what are you supposed to do? Go two. Somebody asks you to do something, you go the extra mile with them. I've learned that through this, and there's a lot of people that's done that. I thank those that have done that. My brother Johnny. Woo! Johnny was one of my rocks through this, by the way. Johnny Grider. Raise your hand, Johnny. That's my brother over there. I love you, brother. When I got on the 7th floor, I've been on every floor at St. Francis, by the way. Ask Lisa. When I got on the 7th floor, Johnny come visiting every day. Every morning early. And I'm an early riser anyway, so it didn't matter to me. I was up at 3:30 this morning. But anyway, Johnny come by every morning. Guess what? He'd bring me a cup of coffee every morning. Every morning. You hear me? Didn't miss it. And he'd come by and encourage me. "Scott, you're going to be all right. Scott, I love you. Do you need anything?" He's came to my house and set it up where I can get in and out of the house. in this wheelchair. He's done things for Lisa. He's moved furniture. Thank you, brother. That's the extra mile. You hear me? When Dallas came over the other day, you know what I felt? I felt guilty. Because I haven't ministered to that man like I should have ministered to him. Because God laid on my heart many times to go over and see him and minister to him. And things would come up and I'd put it off and I'd forget about it and I just didn't do it. You ever been there and done that? Man, that's the blessings in life. We're missing out on the blessings when you don't accomplish those things and do those things that God lays on your heart to do. God laid that on Johnny's heart for me. And let me tell you, brother, if you ever got in this shape, I'd be there for you. I'd be there for you. The owner of Red Ball came the day that the accident happened. I work for Red Ball Oxygen, by the way. That's the company I work for, based out of Shreveport. The owner came that day, which I wasn't in the waiting room, by the way. I was in surgery. Lisa said, I asked the doctor, have you ever done this before? I don't remember that. But there's a rod in my leg about half as long as my body, by the way. So I wanted to know, you know, but I don't even remember that. But he came, the owner came and said he had never seen so many people in the waiting room in all his life. Family, church member, friends. I had guys I went to high school with show up that I ain't seen in years. You hear me? Man. Brother Billy has been a godsend to me. You know what I want to do when I retire? I want to be a Brother Billy. I want to go around to the hospital, and I want to show love to people. You hear me? I want to go around and take care of people's needs. He's brought us food. He's taken me to, I go to therapy 3 days a week. He's taken me to therapy. He has called me. He's been there. He's gone that extra mile. Who in your life can you go the extra mile for? There's somebody out there that needs you to, by the way. A nurse told me one day, man, you have got a great support system in your church. He said, I ain't never seen so many church people come up and visit somebody. That's a blessing. Thank y'all. Thank you to the ones that's come up and done that, done these things for us. When hurt comes, be a witness of God's mercy, grace, and love. Because it's coming, by the way. You live long enough, right? Right, Brother Hurdling? It's coming. You live long enough, that hurt's coming. Be a witness of God's mercy, grace, and love. Brian, this week, one of my therapists came to me and said, Scott, he did my evaluation on my legs at therapy this week, and he said, I just want you to know something. You've been an encouragement to a lot of patients in here. I said, brother, I'm trying. Because let me tell you something. There's some people in there way worse than what I'm dealing with. Whew. Young man in there used to be a cop, was in a terrible accident. He can't even walk. Way younger than me. I've been an encouragement to him. He's been an encouragement to me. Be an encourager. You get that? I'm going to end it with this. Are you ready to go? Not go out of here, by the way. I know y'all all ready to get out of the service. But are you ready to go? Go and meet your Savior. See, that day I was ready to go. I can honestly say that from all my heart. Why was I ready? Because I'm saved by His precious blood. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me. See, I got scars and all over my body. I'm fixing to have some on my shoulders, by the way. I got to have both shoulders done. I got scars all. My leg looks like Jaws bit it. You hear me? That's why I told Lisa, I'm going to tell everybody. What happened to your leg? And I was down south in the Gulf, and a big old shark came up and just gnawed on it. But you know what? My Lord and Savior's got way more scars than I got. And by His stripes, we are healed. You hear me? Nothing I got compares to the stripes He's got, the scars He's got, the pain He suffered. And guess what? He chose that pain. Do you hear me? I didn't choose that day. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He chose to suffer for you and me. He chose to take the beating. He chose to take the nails. It collapsed my lungs, and they put a, what do they call that tube in your side there? Chest tube in me. I guess so I could breathe. I don't know. But it's left a scar right there. But you know what? They took a spear, and they stuck it in my Savior's side when He was on the cross. And they pulled it back out. But they didn't kill Him, by the way. Do you know that? They didn't kill Jesus. Jesus gave up His life freely for an old sinner like me, for a nobody like me. He gave it up for me. So my question again is, are you ready to go? Be ready. Today is the day of salvation. When? Today. When? Today. Your salvation can be today. If you don't know Him, let today be the day that He changes your life. I thank y'all for all the food, the cards, the calls, the trips to therapy, the love, most of all, that's been poured out to me and my family. I thank all y'all for that. But y'all be thinking about, as Brother Neil comes and closes it, are you really ready to meet the Savior? If you're not, you can be ready today. Thank y'all.
I want to finish with one verse. Verse 11 of Chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians says, "You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given and many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many." And as a church family, that's our role, and I'm so thankful that you have taken that role seriously. As Scott and many others in our church family can testify, you have prayed and we have prayed and you have visited and you have been a church family. Since I've been in the ministry, I've often heard and I've often wondered, how in the world does somebody make it through these days and the difficulties of life that come without a church family that surrounds them, prays for them, meets them where they are, loves on them, encourages them, bears the weight with them. I'm thankful that you have done that, that you have been the church, not just somewhere we go. But as Scott said, the real question is, and the only question that matters, because the only hope we have is Jesus. Do you know Jesus? I'm not talking about no scripture, no who Jesus is. Have you given your heart and life to Him so that when that moment comes, and it's coming for everybody, whether it's in an accident or of old age, death will come. And when you are getting ready for that moment, or that moment is upon you, can you say, "God, I'm ready. If you want to take me, take me. I am ready to see you." See, for those of us who are in Christ, there's no fear in death. But if we are not in Christ, we have no hope. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be good enough. I'm a preacher, and I'm nowhere near good enough. It's only the blood of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to end with just an opportunity for you to answer that question. And if you are saved and you know you're saved, then you pray and you thank God for your salvation and you ask, am I being that testimony? God, give me the courage, the opportunity, and the strength to share the gospel every chance I get. And if you're here and you can ask that question and you cannot absolutely with a certainty say, I am saved, today is the day of salvation. Give your heart to Jesus. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he's giving you the opportunity to have forgiveness of your sins. So as we pray, you prepare and you pray, and we're going to respond as we sing a song. Lord God, we just want to say thank you for Scott. Thank you for, Lord, you're at work in his heart, in his life, in his marriage, in his family. God, I thank you for the testimony. I thank you for our part in that testimony, Lord. It's such a blessing to be a shepherd of a church that gets it and understands it, not just with Scott, but with so many others, God, that can say we have been there. God, never let us be satisfied. Let us always be there, because you're always there for us. Help us to be an encouragement. Help us to be a help. Help us to be the love that you have given to us. And God, we do pray you continue to watch over Scott. God, continue to watch over Mr. Antley and Wayne and, Lord, Mr. Murray and Mr. Joe. And God, all the others, Lord, that are struggling with sickness and health infirmities and struggles. God, I just pray that you'd help us be there for Dallas, God. Lord, we just lift them up to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for their testimony. Thank you for their encouragement as they walk through sickness and brokenness and hurt. Thank you for our senior saints that are such a blessing to us as they share how faithful you've been in the past and how they love to be in this place to worship you because you are their God and you have been faithful. God, thank you for their testimony. Lord, thank you for many others that, Lord, have gone through so much and have been faithful and, Lord, have shared your glory and how you've been at work. And God, we just praise you for that. May we all be able to say today, God, if you want to take us, take us. But if you leave us here, use us for your glory in whatever life brings. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stand.